Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know the mission. We take the source material you share, articles, notes, sometimes just a really provocative headline, and we dive deep. We want to pull out those core insights, understand why something matters, not just skim the surface. And today, we've got a really interesting one. Our whole deep dive is basically sparked by a title, maybe a couple of related excerpts the listener sent. It forces us to look at the language used. The theme was Boho Festival Clothing. Timeless trends, and then this follow-up headline, Boho Festival Clothing, timeless trends that continue to shine in 2025. Yeah. So we're not just talking about, you know, fringe jackets or flowy skirts here. We're looking at how language itself shapes perception. How can a trend, something inherently fleeting, be called timeless? That's the puzzle, isn't it? That collision of words.
It really is. It's a fantastic paradox to explore. And you're right, unpacking this means looking closely at those key terms, boho, festival, timeless, and that specific projection into 2025. If they're successfully branding this as timeless, it suggests the style is doing more than just looking good. It must be fulfilling some kind of deeper cultural need, right? Which leads to the big question for us, what is that need? What gives this specific aesthetic its staying power?
Okay, good starting point. So let's break down the foundation first, this boho festival combination. There are two different ideas smashed together. You've got boho, bohemian. That word carries a lot of weight, historically speaking. It points towards free spirits, artists, maybe late 19th century movements, but definitely the 60s counterculture revival. Aesthetically, it's all about flowy shapes, natural fabrics, maybe some embroidery bell sleeves. It's sort of anti-formal, comfortable, expressing individuality. An ideology in clothing, almost.
Exactly. Boho brings the ideology, the kind of historical weight. Yeah. And then festival, that's the context. That's the modern stage where this look really found its commercial footing. Festival implies it's for an event. It's about escapism, maybe only relevant for a weekend. It's about being part of a crowd, a community experience, something separate from the everyday grind. It's become a uniform for that experience.
But isn't there a tension there? You mentioned commercial footing. Boho is supposed to be about authenticity, maybe rejecting the mainstream. But festival fashion is huge business now, very marketed.
Oh, absolutely, there's tension. But I think that tension is actually part of why it's so enduring. The fact that this aesthetic keeps thriving tells us something important. It suggests that the festival itself, that annual, almost ritualistic gathering for freedom and music, is now such a stable cultural thing that it can support its own distinct ongoing style across generations. It maybe doesn't need to be truly anti-establishment anymore. It just needs to feel anti-routine.
So the festival provides the recurring stage for the style.
Precisely. And the fusion of boho and festival created, let's call it an aesthetic archetype. It's instantly recognizable worldwide. It's visual shorthand for freedom, music, maybe a bit of nostalgia. Think about certain items. The tiered maxi skirt, maybe a crochet vest, layered jewelry. These specific types of items keep coming back because they signal that archetype immediately. They validate the festival as this permanent cultural moment needing its own dress code.
Okay, they make sense of the boho festival part, but now we have to tackle that really tricky phrase from the source. Timeless trends. I mean, come on. A trend, by definition, comes and goes. It's hot, then it's not. So how can the industry seriously call it timeless? Isn't that just, well, empty marketing jargon? Unless there's a strategy.
Well, I think it is a strategy, and a pretty clever one, linguistically speaking. When they use timeless here, they're not necessarily talking about one specific dress staying in style forever. They're talking about the overarching vibe, the aesthetic category, what we might call a macro trend. The details, like hem lengths or sleeve shapes, those are the micro trends that shift each season. But the core, feeling freedom, nature, flow, that's what they're labeling timeless.
Ah, okay. So timeless refers to the general category, not the specific garment from last year.
Exactly. And this labeling does something important for brands. It elevates the category. It subtly fights against the idea of disposable fast fashion. By calling it timeless, they imply it's more of an investment. You're buying into an enduring style, not just a fleeting fad. It gives them justification, perhaps, for a slightly higher price point, framing it as something with longevity. It's a way to shield it from immediate markdowns.
Right, so it's positioning. It's creating a narrative of stability against the churn of fast fashion, even if some of the clothes are produced quickly. But doesn't that risk watering down the word timeless if anything lasting more than a season gets called timeless?
That's a fair point. The word can definitely get overused. But think about the psychology it's tapping into. Mm-hmm. The style isn't timeless because a specific 1970s piece is identical to today's version. It's perceived as timeless because the values it represents, that desire for freedom, for authenticity, for comfort, maybe a connection to nature or craft, those are things people consistently want. Those desires don't really go out of style.
So the clothes are just the current expression of those recurring desires.
Precisely. The boho festival look provides a reliable visual language for a certain emotional state. Self-expression, temporary rebellion, being outdoors, community. Since humans keep seeking those states, the style that signifies them persists. It's tapping into something pretty fundamental.
Can you give an example, like a specific item that shows this evolution being a trend, but also part of this timeless category?
Sure. Think about crochet or knitwear within this style. Back in the 70s, it might have been, you know, genuinely handmade, maybe quite chunky, rustic. It signified craft, authenticity. Then, when the boho look came back strong recently, you saw crochet, but maybe as really fine-gauge knit dresses or delicate, almost see-through cardigans, much more refined, commercially produced. The idea of texture, the knit or woven element that's the timeless thread, symbolizing something organic or handmade. But the specific item, the silhouette, the weight, the execution that gets updated constantly to fit the current market, that constant regeneration is what makes it a resilient macro trend.
Okay, that crochet example really clarifies how it adapts but keeps its core idea. And that leads us to the final part of the source materials claim, the future bit. It wasn't just looking back. It said these trends continue to shine in 2025. That's a prediction, statement of confidence about its market presence.
Right. And that's significant. It's one thing for a retro style, especially one rooted in the 60s, 70s, to have a comeback moment. That happens all the time in fashion cycles. But projecting its strength specifically into 2025 suggests the industry sees this not just as nostalgia, but as a stable, reliable market category. They're banking on it sticking around.
So why 2025? What makes them so sure it will continue to shine?
I think it points to a recognition of deep consumer buy-in for a style that, let's remember, started partly in opposition to mainstream norms. Its continued strength shows how successfully it's been adapted and integrated. It's become mainstream in its own way. Mm-hmm. It keeps reinventing itself. Maybe one year it's more about tie-dye, the next it's artisanal block prints. Maybe heavy suede boots get swapped for lighter, perhaps vegan sandals. It absorbs new elements but holds onto that core spirit, comfortable, expressive, a bit unconventional.
So adaptation is key.
Adaptation, yes, but also relevance to the current moment. Think about the mid-2020s. We live increasingly digital lives, often feeling quite disconnected or constrained. This style offers an antidote, or at least the fantasy of one. It's tactile, it's associated with real-world gatherings, with nature, with slowing down. It's loose-fitting, comfortable. Its predicted longevity into 2025 probably signals that these underlying values, the desire for the organic, the handmade feel, the freedom, are resonating very strongly right now and are expected to continue driving purchases. People are seeking that feeling.
Which connects back to what you said earlier. If the style keeps shining, it implies the need for that escape, that festival reset, is maybe becoming more ingrained, more necessary for people.
Exactly. The fashion reflects the perceived stability or even necessity of the cultural practice it serves. The prediction isn't just about clothes. It's implicitly about a lifestyle element, or at least an aspirational one. If this look is strong in 2025, it suggests consumers are consistently investing in an identity that prioritizes temporary freedom, community, and self-expression outside their normal routines. The clothing becomes the symbol, the tangible proof of that commitment.
Right, we've really unpacked that headline now. We started with just a few words, boho festival clothing, timeless trends shine in 2025, and found it wasn't just about fashion. The real story seems to be about enduring cultural needs for freedom, expression, escape, and how marketing language, that timeless trend paradox, helps a style cater to those needs year after year, making it commercially resilient.
It really does. And maybe that leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener, to consider. If this style is truly enduring because it taps into those deep human desires for freedom, for real-world connection, for tactile experience, well, does its continued prominence, its projected shine in 2025, suggest something more profound? Okay. Does it maybe confirm that the festival experience itself has shifted from just being a fun weekend option to becoming a kind of necessary annual cultural ritual, almost like an essential reset for modern well-being and identity?
That's a fascinating question to ponder. Is the festival now a cultural necessity reflected in its enduring fashion? Food for thought indeed. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the language of fashion longevity. It shows how much insight can be hidden in just a title. Next time you encounter one of those timeless trend claims, Maybe pause and think about what deeper human value or cultural need it might actually be signaling. Thanks again to the listener for sharing the source. Keep sending them in and keep exploring those fascinating intersections of culture, language, and the market.